if you're like, let's read this personal development book together and then share our insights. Wrong. No, he doesn't want to do that. He does not want to do that. And honestly, him being like, that's a terrible idea, babe, that is a better answer than him being like, yeah, that sounds great. Friends, we are back, and we are back with an episode that was highly requested, and it is about how to get your man to do the work. Now, before we even jump in, if you haven't checked out the freebie section on my website, I would highly recommend doing that and downloading all the things that are there. There's also some really great meditations that are super low cost as well, but just such a nice little pep me up throughout the day. There are so many things that I'm working on behind the scenes, and I actually have something new coming that's small, it's low cost. For those of you that have done like Queen Alchemy and stuff, you may not be interested in it, which is completely fine, but you actually may be interested in it because you may want a really kind of broken down, simplified version of stepping into your feminine. So lots of things coming up. As usual, everything is always updated on the website page. And when you go to that homepage on that slider, if you just go across the slider, that's where we put a lot of the updates as well. And then obviously my Instagram stories, etc. And you can always just send an email and be like, hey, Olivia, or hey, Monica, or hey, Olivia and Monica, what is new right now? Like, give me the updates. But of course, if you're on my email list, you guys will always get the updates as well. So let's jump into today's episode about getting him to do the work. Oh, I'm so excited for this. All right, let me give you guys a little bit of a backstory. Not really a backstory, but some context, I guess. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. My fiance is not, and I didn't meet him like this at all, he is not the kind of guy that is like into the work, quote unquote. He's not woo-woo. He didn't know what a coach was. He thought like a coach, like a baseball coach. Like, he did not know what a coach was when I met him. He did not know what, you know, even self-help was. You know, we were somewhere and somebody asked him, what's your love language? And he was like, my what? He had no idea what like love languages, what, like, absolutely no idea. So just to give you some background on that, now obviously he's got a little bit of an idea, but still, somebody the other day literally asked him, what's your love language? And he was like, I don't know what that is. And I was like, lol, like, I could tell him what his love language was, but he didn't know what his love language was. So even still, he's not then become obsessed with it because of me and gone deep into the work or anything like that. But what I will say is that he's done the work in a way that, and he's doing the work in a way that is not the approach that maybe you are forcing on your boyfriend, partner, husband. So I'm going to kind of break this down because I think that the first thing to understand, guys, about getting your partner to do the work is that he has to want to do it and you can't rush him. You know, you might be obsessed with this kind of stuff. So you want to do 50 courses and go so deep into it and be like, you know, on the 3-day immersion with me, fully like screaming your eyeballs out, doing lap dances, you know, like sensually eating strawberries. You might think that that is the bee's knees, but he might think that's crazy. Now, you also have to remember that there was probably a time in your life, maybe not, where you thought that's fucking crazy too. Now you get it, so you're interested in it. But if he doesn't fully get it, then he just might not have that interest yet. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. Also, if he doesn't want to go on some like 6-week men's retreat up in the bushes where he's like cutting wood and, you know, and chasing after deer and killing them and eating them with his own bare hand, that doesn't mean that he's incapable of becoming a better version of himself. There are so many different ways that you can do the work. And there's so many different ways that, you know, at least as the starting point of your, of someone's journey, where you will feel that difference in the partnership. And what's also really important to understand is distinguishing the difference between how men like to do the work very often and how women like to do the work very often. So the first thing that I want to just mention is, let's just remember that men, they need community still. Yes, they need friendship. They need depth. Like, they need that. And unfortunately, a lot of men these days don't have that. So there's no denying men 100% need that. And men like to also process alone. Men don't want to share their fucking feelings. And a man can still process a lot, heal a lot and whatnot without having to spill his guts. For some men, maybe they actually really do feel like they need to spill their guts, but let's not invalidate the fact that men like to process and heal and you know, understand and whatnot, just in a little bit of a different way. And I'm saying this because a common thing that I'm noticing these days in the world of personal development, especially with more so with men doing personal development, is that a lot of the personal development for men has a very feminine influence on it. Now, granted, that isn't always wrong. You know, if this means that a really, really suppressed macho alpha male kind of guy can now actually even identify what he's feeling, then that's fantastic. But there's a line. There is a line for men. There is a time and a place for a man to be crying, feeling his emotions. There is a time and a place for him to be telling you, you know, his deepest, darkest vulnerabilities that now actually make you feel really fucking insecure because he's told you these things where it's like, a man does not tell that to a woman. There is a fucking line. And what I'm noticing more and more these days is that men in this kind of world of personal development, doing the quote unquote men's work, are going past the line. And what's happening is that the women in their relationships or the women that they're dating are now feeling turned off. They're feeling like he isn't this like protector. He isn't this strong man because now he wants to sit and have this long-winded conversation where it's just over communication. And now she feels really insecure. And it doesn't, so this, I don't want anyone to then perceive this as like, oh, so what? A man has to suppress himself to make a woman feel secure. No. It's about a man needs to have discernment. The masculine, one of the traits of the masculine is discernment. So you will feel safe or safer with a man that can discern in a situation whether it's the appropriate time to sit down and spill his vulnerabilities or whether it's not the appropriate time. So when there is a natural disaster, it is not around you. It is not an appropriate time for him to be like, oh my God, babe, I'm so scared. There's a natural disaster. Like, no. What? No, that is the time for him to rise up, for him to be in that protector mode, for his testosterone and adrenaline to be firing, and for him to actually be able to stay calm. And that is the time for you where you could be bawling your eyes out, but not the time for him to be bawling his eyes out. You know, for a man, it's very important. In a relationship, if you want to be in a relationship with a masculine man, he needs to be able to discern the moments where it's appropriate to bring all of his vulnerabilities to the table and when it's not appropriate. And I will just say across the board, something that I love telling people, and it's actually fucking relieving for a lot of people that are doing this work, is that there is this thing called over-communication, and over-communication does more harm than good. Very often, well, not very often, but like there are some times where it's actually better to just shut your mouth, to sleep on it, and to not say anything. You don't always need to communicate about things. And I think that these days when you have these couples that are really wanting to be in this conscious relationship and for everything to be perfect, they do themselves a disservice by talking about everything, and it ruins the polarity. So for example, again, the discernment of a man. You know, he might think that, you know, he's been led to believe in his men's work or whatever, that the right thing to do is to share that he's been thinking about other women and looking at other women and blah, 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 with no solution, right? Just like been sharing that as though she needs to provide a solution. He might have, you know, been led to believe that that's sharing his vulnerabilities and opening up and having a conscious relationship. All that's fucking done is make her feel like she can't trust him. I'll give you another example. And I will say, now, if that situation went down instead with, babe, I need to talk to you about something, and I have been wondering how to do this because I want to protect you from something that you don't need to be worried about. I'm going to share something with you, and then I'm going to tell you a solution straight away. This isn't on your shoulders. I just want to be honest with you so that you kind of know why I've been like head in the clouds and just like not fully present with you lately. So I've been noticing that I've been looking at other women and I've been thinking about other women, which I hate about myself because you are my woman. I love you. I am committed to you, blah, blah, blah. And I think it's because I'm really bored at my job. And I'm hating my job, which you already know, and it's causing me to like seek outside, you know, like adrenaline or attention or like purpose in some weird fucked up way. So what I'm doing is blah, blah, blah. And I want you to know that I'm going to like check in with you and that you have nothing to worry about and blah, blah, blah. Like there is a solution provided with the vulnerability. especially in like with that specific vulnerability. Let me give you another example. He comes home, he's had a boys' night out, and he tells you that they've all been talking about how they like to fuck their woman and the different X, Y, and Zs and the different possessions that they like, and that, you know, like pussy this, pussy that, and just like men talk. You as a woman are going to be like, what the fuck? One, your friends are disgusting. Why the fuck are you talking about women like this? And you are immediately going to disrespect him. All it's going to do is make you have so much resentment, probably some fucking rage, a bit of hate, and you are going to feel distant from him. So maybe he's been led to believe that, you know, he needs to be like open and share everything and that over communication. But no, there is a line, and a man needs to be protecting. This is part of the masculine. The masculine protects her from the realities of life, and the masculine protects her from other men. And maybe they're engaging with some kind of like vulgar language sometimes. And why I'm saying this is because I feel like these days women try and control men. I know these days women try and control men so much to the point of like, men shouldn't be talking about that. Men shouldn't be, you know, talking about women that way, like blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you sit with your girlfriends and talk about his dick and how you want to be fucked and blah, blah, blah. Like, you're allowed to be talking about it. He's allowed to be talking about it. Just because you use different words doesn't mean one is better than the other. Like, we are two different beings. And this is why that separation is so important, because I don't want to know what, you know, my man and his guy friends have been talking about. Like, it's his job to protect me from the world of just men. Just like when he comes home, I'm not going to be telling him about everything that me and my girlfriend spoke about. Like, he doesn't, even if it's like, oh, we spoke about weddings and shoes, he's bored out of his brain. It's like, I don't want to know this shit. He doesn't want to know. Sometimes he will say to me, I'm not your girlfriend. If I'm talking to him about, like, I don't know, a pair of shoes, he's like, go tell that to your girlfriend. Just like if he's talking about something with man speak, I'm like, I don't want to know this. Like, you don't need to tell me this, because that separation is healthy. That separation creates polarity. That separation is built in trust. And so if you don't feel like there is that trust in, I don't have to know every single detail, then what was I saying? If you don't feel like there is a separation with trust, then you actually have a bigger issue. It's not about he needs to communicate everything with you. It's about you want to feel trusting that he will tell you the important things, discernment. He will tell you the important things, and he will protect you from things that you don't need to know. So the bottom line is that, what was I saying? Yeah. So there, go back to the beginning of this whole kind of like flow that I went on, is a lot of men doing the work are doing it in this way where they're actually becoming overly feminine. They're being like feminized, I guess is the way that you would describe it, where the work is all about emotion and communication and softening and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, no, that's not what a man needs to do. Yes, he needs to release the trauma, process the trauma, like go through all of that. Yes, there'll be some tears, blah, blah, blah. But then he needs to go and like be a fucking man. That is going to make him feel confident and powerful. Like that boost of testosterone is going to make him feel confident and powerful. If you make him just have these long-winded conversations, what actually has happened is now his estrogen has been boosted. His testosterone has lowered. So you're actually having more of you're having a conversation with less of a man, and more of like a feminine, like a female version of him, because of the way that his hormones have changed, you know? So it's actually really important that he is doing work that, yes, allows him to process the emotion and connect to the emotion and be able to like vocalize those things. There's also a line where it's like, right, get that out. And then let's go like chop down wood, bang some shit, break some things, like get into his body and actually release the way that a man needs to release. Women are like, we are wired for community. We need community. We want to like go over to each other's houses and bring blueberry muffins and like play with the kids. That makes our nervous systems feel really fucking safe. It doesn't do it for men. Right? For men, they don't need that sense of community. They need their testosterone. They need that ability to process alone. They need fucking spaciousness. So this is actually one of the reasons why I ended up changing my men's program, The Man, to be evergreen. So there's now like two versions of it. You can either do the regular version or you can do the VIP version, which basically gives you two one-on-ones plus the man, the actual program. And the reason why I did this was because, one, I wanted men to be able to just buy this program whenever they need it and not need to wait till I'm launching it. But also, two, because I know, and I've asked so many men, where it's like they actually want to do this work alone. They don't need to nor want to be sitting on group calls and whatnot. Yes, there is an aspect where it's really nice to do it with other men, but what I've realized is that once a man has done a bit of work, he's then open to doing more work with men. But when a man is where most men are when they start my program, the man, they're not comfortable yet doing that. So actually doing it alone is better for them. So let me bleed this into you getting your man to do the work as well. If you're like, let's read this personal development book together and then share our insights. Wrong. No, he doesn't want to do that. He does not want to do that. And honestly, him being like, that's a terrible idea, babe, that is better, a better answer than him being like, yeah, that sounds great. I'd actually be raising more of an eyebrow, because not that that's bad by any means. It probably won't last, is what I'm saying, because you want him to feel like he can process in his own time and he isn't going to be rushed by your female brain, right? That's why men love it when you give them a question. You're like, no rush answering this answer whenever you're ready, because they're like, oh, I don't have to rush this answer, because it takes them so much longer to actually think of the answer. Whereas we just blurt things out, and the amount of estrogen in our brain and the difference between our white and gray matter between men and women mean that women can process information a lot faster and then kind of make those say the things, make the rebuttals. You know, we can fight better because our brains are working differently to him. So it's really nice when you actually just give him that space to be able to do this work in his own time and trust him to do it in his own time. So not checking in on him all the time. Did you do these calls this week? Did you read the book? Did you finish this? Because then you're becoming the mother. You're not the lover. If you want to be the lover, not the mother, be a lover, not a mother, my program. If you want to be the lover, not the mother, then that requires trust in him being able to lead himself. It's literally a whole module in the man of like how to lead yourself so that you can lead her. So you want to think about kind of planting the seed is how I like it. And look, sometimes we're in fall right now. Sometimes you plant that seed and it ain't coming up till summer the next year. But if you didn't plant the seed when you did in fall, you'd be in summer and there'd be nothing growing, right? Think about like tulips or peonies. You have to plant the bulbs in fall and then they come out in spring and summer. Well, if you didn't plant that bulb in fall, spring and summer, your garden would be empty. And so maybe you then decide, okay, I'll plant it finally the next year in fall, but you still have to wait those 6-8 months, whatever it is, to actually get blooms. So when you plant the seed, you can water it a little bit, but that watering isn't nagging, right? You're not looking at the seed yelling at it in the fucking dirt, why aren't you growing? The watering is nourishing. So that nourishment could be positive reinforcement. That nourishment could be not nagging, trusting, right? Think about what would feel like water to him. So you don't want to be pushing, because if you go into push, all that that's done is make him less likely to actually sit down and do the work, because now he feels like it's a chore and it's a job and not something that he wants to do for himself. And here's the key thing. If a man is doing, quote unquote, doing the work for you, he's not doing the work. He's not. He's maybe listening to some shit and being like, okay, yep. But he's not actually doing it. He's not integrating it. He's not embodying it. That's two different things. Listening to a module is different to actually being the module. So if you are pushing him, you might be thinking it's causing him to read the book faster, blah, blah, blah. But just because he's read the book quickly doesn't mean it's actually embedded into his body. You need to trust him to do it in his own time and at his own pace, because then from his perspective as well, that's going to feel like she's trusted me to do this. She trusts me that I am going to heal this wound, or that I'm going to change this thing. And she's not rushing me, because like how I am right now isn't enough for her. I will say on the other side of this, or like just an and, not a but, and I say this in regards to like, don't emasculate your man, is there's always a line. I want to just make that really fucking clear. There's always a line. You also need to have self boundaries and not abandon your own needs thinking, oh, like he'll eventually change. You do have to put your foot down when necessary. Like you have to have your own discernment, right? In regards to this, like having that queen embodiment is part of that is discerning when you're starting to cross your own lines because you're hanging on to this future version of him that is never going to happen. The same goes with emasculation, right? Don't emasculate him, but also if he's being a dick and you've tried to speak to him nicely about it, then don't worry about not emasculating him because he's kind of brought it on himself, right? You've tried. Like, don't now be the doormat because you're so afraid of hurting him because he's actually hurting you. This doesn't mean that you become a bitch and you're fighting back and like it's, you know, who's going to win the argument. It's more that you're not going to go into that cycle of self-abandonment. Let me explain to you just like the piece of self-abandonment so that you understand this. So when you've grown up in a childhood where you feel like you had to let go of a need of yours to basically keep the peace in some sense. And the keep the peace, guys, doesn't mean that like needed to keep the house quiet. It could have kept the peace in regards to you not getting in trouble. Could have kept the peace in terms of mom and dad not fighting. It could have been kept the peace in terms of like you kind of numbing out so that you didn't feel the abandonment pain that you were always feeling from whoever. It could have been keeping the peace so that your, you know, siblings didn't pick on you, didn't bully you. There's many different ways that you can kind of go into that self-abandonment as a kid. But basically you suppress your own need to keep the peace in some kind of way, right? Now, what can happen as a child when you're doing this is there's this internal thought process. And there's many different ways you can engage in self-abandonment, but I'm just going to give the most common one that I see with my clients, where there's this internal process of if I do X, Y, and Z, then he'll change. Then I'll be able to fix her. Then she'll be happy. Then this and that. So if you've grown up in an environment, for example, where there's been drugs and alcohol abused in the family, what can happen is, you know, if you give up something that you need, or if you stay quiet, or if you, you know, help them all the time, or if you pick up the rubbish all around the house, then maybe that will be enough for them to quit the drugs. Or if you, you know, if you accept the apology every time and you try and help them, you'll stay around because maybe the next time they'll actually follow through with it. So this can go into adulthood, everyone. Like, I want to make that really fucking clear. This can go into the cycles that happens in very abusive relationships, whether it's emotionally, mentally, physically abusive, it doesn't matter, where basically what will happen is there will be an apology. You will accept the apology. They'll do it again. They'll apologize again. You'll accept the apology. You'll stay around. They'll do it again. And so what happens is they learn that your words don't actually mean anything. You learn that your words don't actually mean anything. And you keep abandoning yourself because you're telling yourself that maybe this will be the time. Maybe I can fix them. Maybe I can help them. I just have to help them. Like, it's just because they're wounded. It's just because it's why this, that, and the other. And I see this a lot in people that have done a lot of work on themselves and they really have healed a lot of wounds. They will get into relationships with very, very wounded people. And I want to say, I used to do it. I did this too. I would get into relationships with really wounded people. And they're not bad people. Let's make that very fucking clear. They are not bad people. They were beautiful people with the best intentions and the best heart, but the execution was questionable. So what would happen is I would convince myself that I could fix them, that I could change them, that I could help them. And part of this for me is that my name actually means to advise and counsel, for anyone that doesn't know that. I think I tell fucking everyone that because I just think it's the coolest thing. Literally at our engagement party here in Atlanta we did for like US people because we had like a little Australian one and then we had a US one. My dad was giving an incredible speech. He does great speeches. Cannot wait for the wedding. And he literally was like, you know, from the moment we named her Monica, which actually means to advise and counsel, she's made sure that she has advised everybody. Anyway. Point is that I used to get so much validation from fixing somebody, from helping somebody, from changing somebody. And that was like a tricky wound that I didn't identify for a long time because I thought it was good to help people. So I was always abandoning myself to help somebody else, right? And it wasn't until I realized that, oh, I'm helping this person, yes, because I want to help them, but I'm never able to put my foot down, or I'm never able to draw a line of when I stop helping them, because I will go past my own boundaries. I will abandon my own needs just to help them. Now, of course, it's like, yeah, I want to help everybody still, but I'm going to have a line. And if that person doesn't want to be helped, then I can't help them. And I'm able to feel really, really confident in that, but I didn't used to be able to feel confident in that. It was like, oh, I see a wounded soldier. Great. I'm going to go after them and I'm going to try and fix them. So as an adult, what then happens is you'll often end up in these relationships or dating these people where they're so fucking wounded, or they have these massive wounds, and you're attracted to their wounds. You're attracted to this person because you're like, yes, I can try and fix them. And it's this thing where in your head and in your body, it's this feeling of like, if I can fix this person, then I can prove to myself and I can show myself, see, people do change for me. See, somebody will love me enough to change this thing, or to fix this thing, or to heal this thing. And then you feel chosen finally, because your whole life, your whole childhood, your whole adolescence, you haven't felt chosen because somebody would choose the drugs or the alcohol, or the fighting, or the this or the that. They would choose something else over you and your needs. So it's like, finally, this person has chosen me. I've been able to fix them. But the reality is that never happens, right? But you, it's this addictive cycle of you are on a mission to prove to yourself that you won't be abandoned, that this person will change for you, right? And that's why you keep going in this cycle time after time and again. And it's only when you actually heal the root issue and rewire your nervous system and recalibrate your nervous system that you stop going after those people, because you no longer get the high from doing it and you're just no longer attracted to it. You're not having to tell yourself that you're no longer attracted to it. It's like, that's just like, you're like a no now. It's like, ugh, like, doesn't turn you on. Whereas it used to actually get your body going and turn you on. So if you identify as kind of being that fixer, then there's definitely probably a cycle of a bit of self-abandonment. If you're a guy listening to this and you just like to fix problems, that's different, right? If you feel like you have to fix something in order to be accepted, in order to be loved, that's where it gets a little bit trickier. Let me give you guys some examples of just the way self-abandonment can show up for people. So if you are always ignoring your gut feelings and you're like gaslighting yourself, you're gaslighting your feelings, your nudges, those intuitive and like gut feelings that you get about situations. Obviously, if you're always trying to fix other people, if you're aiming to be perfect and not just human, like, we are not here to be perfect. We are here to be human. If you are people pleasing at your own detriment, that definitely is a big one. If you're chasing love, so if you're chasing, and this is if you're a woman, if you're chasing the guy rather than actually allowing yourself to be chosen, obviously men, if you like, you're the chasers, but if she is like, I am not interested, like full blown, like it's made, she made it very fucking clear, but you still just feel like you have to win this person. Even if they do not like you, there's no attraction, they've put your foot down, blah, 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 that kind of thing. I know it can be hard sometimes when it's like, okay, Monica, but what about the time when she's like, no, I don't want to go on a date with you, but she kind of does, or, you know, what if I tried again? And then she actually said yes and we got married, because I told my fiance no when he first asked me out on a date. I said no. And then obviously that didn't happen. So again, but you have to discern body language. I actually go through a module in The Man on understanding a woman's body language to help with this, because there are those instances where she's like, no, don't touch me. But inside she's like, fucking grab me and literally put your teeth into my neck. So those situations can be really hard to discern. So understanding a woman's body language and really being able to feel when that actual line is versus when it's more of just like, she's kind of unsure, or it's because she's a bit nervous, or it's because she's afraid of being abandoned. Being able to discern those different situations is really fantastic and important. Another example is avoiding those difficult conversations. And so you put your needs on the back burner, or you lie to yourself that they'll change, quote unquote, when they're not going to fucking change. So you just keep putting your own needs and your own experience behind, like, on the back burner for the sake of, oh, they'll change, or, oh, they didn't mean it, or blah, blah, blah. Another one is seeking control of everything as well. Right. So you can't seek control of everything, but it's like you feel like you have to seek control of everything, and you freak out if you're not in control. That then creates a cycle of self-abandonment of always then feeling Like always beating yourself up, always feeling anxious, always feeling not enough, always feeling like you're not in control when it's like you aren't in control, but that can actually give you a sense of control if you understand how to use it that way. And then the last one I'll give you guys is rejecting compliments. It's one that people don't recognize. When you're rejecting compliments, you're often keeping yourself in this zone of like, I'm not enough, I don't deserve this, blah, blah, blah. So it's that cycle of you're abandoning your possibilities. You're abandoning yourself. You want to feel like you're enough, but you're not allowing yourself to experience that. So you reject the compliments. Well, this little update is for the gentleman. I'm very excited to be announcing that the man is finally open. It's back. It's fresh. It's revamped. It is amazing. So if you have been on the waitlist for the man, you would have gotten an email. If you haven't been on the waitlist for the man, but you are interested, this is basically my Queen Alchemy program for women, but for men. So it's all things trauma healing, embodiment, confidence, boundaries, speaking your truth. It's got all the things. So there's two options for you. There's a regular option or a VIP option. You can view everything, including the modules, the outline, what's included about the program, et cetera, on the website page. I will link that for you below. And for the men listening too, if you haven't downloaded my Dude's Guide to Period Phases, trust me when I say that you should. It is a game changer and it will save you a lot of teeth grinding in her luteal phase. So I'm going to do you the favor of putting both those links below, the freebie link for the Dude's Guide to Period Phases, as well as the link to check out my program, The Man. All right, let's jump back into the episode. So that is kind of some examples of the way that you might self-abandon. So the thing that I just gave you guys to wrap up that little point before we go to the next one is you need to have the self-boundaries and make sure that you do know the line of when it's like, okay, this is a need of mine for you to fix X, Y, and Z. It hasn't been fixed. This relationship ain't going to do it for me anymore. That is really important. And so to come back to the example of like my fiance and I, when we first met, is I knew what I needed in a person in order to be happy. Like that was really clear. I'd done the work, and the next episode is about the three things you need to do to manifest in your man. I had done so much work on myself that I knew what I needed in order to be happy. And so it was, that's important because it allowed me to actually get clear on what, you know, needed to be, I don't like necessarily using the word. I feel like people think change is a bad thing. Like if you're wanting change in somebody, it's a bad thing. But there was some things that had to be changed. And I was upfront with those things. And by being upfront and by having my own limits and boundaries, it allowed me to feel like I'll give him the chance. But if it isn't prioritized and if I don't see improvement, that's completely fine. Nothing against him. Like he can do whatever he wants. But I know that I would resent myself if I stayed in a relationship because I would think I'm thinking he's changing and 10 years goes by. And I've then been resenting myself the whole time because I'm not getting a need met that I know is needed. And one of your needs can be self-growth. And if you're with someone that doesn't have a growth mindset and doesn't want to grow themselves, doesn't want to improve themselves, then that can feel really, really hard because you value that so deeply. Or if you value health and the other person doesn't give a flying fuck, that is going to be not triggering. That's going to be so aggravating to your nervous system because your values need to be aligned in a relationship. So the next thing to get him to quote unquote do the work is be the light. So when I say be the light, it's like be the example. Are you doing the work? Are you a walking example of the work that you've done on yourself? Are you in your feminine so that he actually has the space to rise into his masculine? I talked about this on an episode about emasculation kind of not too long ago, where so much of the time women don't even give him the space to be a man. And being able to rise into his masculinity requires that it be kind of that space and not emptiness, but like physical space in a relationship for him to actually be masculine. So being the light is about being the example. So if you're wanting him to become healthier or to, you know, live a low toxic life for his endocrine system, but you are spraying yourself with perfume and you are drinking a ton of alcohol and doing drugs on the weekend, you aren't exactly an embodiment. So that's very confusing to him. Very confusing. It's just like when women say, I'm so confused. He says he doesn't want a relationship, but he's texting me all the time and planning cute dates. we feel like that's confusing. Well, he feels like it's confusing when you say you want XYZ from him, low toxic this, known this, like cleanse the fucking liver, and then you're out binge drinking on a Friday night till 1 a.m. Very confusing. Actions aren't aligning with words. So the embodiment piece is really important, because then his environment starts to become, because you know you're together, his environment starts to become what you do. And that, of course, over time will infiltrate into his life and he'll pick up on little things. So him just being exposed to your healthy environment is going to start to subliminally and slowly change things. When my fiance would come and visit me in New York when I was living there, like, you know, he would open the fridge and it would just be like fucking healthy shit everywhere. Every snack was healthy, homemade bread. Like he would have eggs and avocado every morning and he's like not used to this at all, but he would love it because it felt so like gourmet to him. And I'm like, this is just my normal, but it would excite him to come up to New York. He would get so excited about the food. He would feel so nourished. He would have so much brain space. He couldn't believe that like he wasn't hungry 6 hours later. And so the change in the environment made him so curious, because obviously the change in the environment impacted him. He was able to feel that and notice that on his own. I wasn't nagging him about it. And the curiosity led to him just kind of digging his feet in a little bit more and a little bit more. And it didn't mean he picked up 500 books. It just meant that he would ask questions. He, like for him, he doesn't want to read 100 books. He just wants me to explain it to him, but not give unsolicited advice, give solicited advice. So when he's asked for it, I'm then giving the advice. So it might be that your man doesn't want to read 300 books, but he wants to be able to feel like there is no judgment when he asks a question. And he wants to be able to feel like there is curiosity and softness about him, you know, dipping his toes into certain topics, not like he's got to be the fucking guru at it overnight. So if you know, like, yeah, well, I'm kind of being the example. I'm listening to Monica's podcast and I'm doing her free content and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's a really, really great start. But don't expect him to go do a fucking program then or read 100 books if you're not also doing that, right? I've experienced this before where she will pressure him to do all this work. He'll come to me, but she hasn't done anything. Like she hasn't done any of my programs. She hasn't done anybody, you know, she hasn't worked with anybody else, because I'll ask. And I'm like, this is not integrity. You know what I mean? And it doesn't mean that she has to do it first. It's just something to note, ladies, that, you know, this work can feel really hard for men because it's vulnerable. They're opening themselves up. So we often, because we find it easier to be vulnerable and open and communicate, we're just emotional beings. If we find it a little bit easier to get started with these things because it is easier for us, then why not be the leader in this? Because you can lead this in a very feminine way. You don't even need to fucking feel like you're leading it. It's just like you're going to do your piece and you're going to be the light, and that's going to plant the seed like I spoke about automatically, because you're going to say to him like, oh no, I can't do dinner with you tonight because I have this call that I'm doing for X, Y, and Z, and he's going to ask you questions about it, and that those conversations are causing him to start to open his mind and think differently. Think about the effect of just being able to tell him about a program that you're doing or an immersion that you're going on or a book that you're reading or a podcast that you listen to. Literally being able to have these conversation openers can just help you to understand where he's at and his perspective on things. And it could also be the runway for him to then ask you questions and for you to be able to then share and help him a little bit, especially if he's super, super new to this. So if you haven't done paid work and you're expecting him to do paid work, no, lack of embodiment, right? You need to be doing the work. And when I say the work, it is paid experiences, because the thing to understand is the difference between free content and paid is vastly different, not only in the actual content itself, but in the experience and more importantly, how you show up in it. When there is skin in the game, you do the work. I'm going to tell you guys right now, you'll listen to a podcast, whether it's my podcast, somebody else's, and you're like in the podcast, you're like, yeah, this is amazing. If I said to you tomorrow, what did you learn from the podcast you listened to yesterday? You'd be like, and you wouldn't be able to remember anything, right? And maybe there's been a few like big things that you've picked up, and over time you've been able to you know, pick up more things because you've listened to 300 plus of my episodes. Fantastic. But when you're in a paid container, you are focused to another level. You are integrating to another level because there is skin in the game. You have paid, you have put your resources that you've worked for into something else. So you are going to make sure that you actually show up for it, right? The other thing with like my immersion, for example, because it's 3 whole days, you haven't just given your money, you have given your time. I mean, any program, you've given your time, but you've carved out 3 days, which also is what causes the results to be amplified and magnified in the immersion, because you are literally in this kind of like incubator for 3 days where you grow at a rapid quantum speed compared to just doing a little bit by little bit every single week. Little bit by little bit every single week is still fantastic. And especially depending on the environment or what else is happening in your life, like that actually could be a lot better for you. But don't underestimate when you kind of detach from the outside world in your everyday life and go into an incubator for 3 days, you then come out as though you've lived 5 extra years doing a little bit by little bit every single week. So the immersion tickets, the pre-sale closes on November 30th for New York City and Paris. So there is a discount happening right now on the ticket. So you want to make sure that you grab it now. Don't wait until after November 30th, because if there's any tickets available, they're going to be at their full price. And I urge you, I really do, to not self-sabotage. Don't hold yourself back. Don't limit yourself from true healing. And then in turn, the massive expansion and growth and quantum leaping that you're capable of receiving. You know, if you are meant to be at this event. You know if you need it, if you want it, if you desire it. And these 3 days, they will change your life, right? Go to the website page. Look at the testimonials. Watch the testimonial video. You deserve that full body freedom where you can speak your truth, where you can claim your desires, where you feel safe in your femininity, to be led, to be devoured and claimed like by that man of your dreams, whether it's, you know, improving your current relationship or calling him in. Grab your ticket before they all go. I am here for any questions. I do not bite, I promise. And just to be clear, the change starts as soon as you click purpose. As soon as you click purchase, right? The huge somatic shifts will obviously happen at the immersion, but don't underestimate the power of that energetic shift when you choose yourself. Like the universe will start sending you things and giving you your manifestations because you have actually showed with your resources that you deserve more in your life. Like attracts like. Guess what's going to come back to you? A lot of good things. So the next point about how to get your man to do the work is I've got like 2 more things. If you can't unconditionally love him now, then you're having expectations and loving a future version of him. The only person that gets let down in this situation is you, the only person. So if you can't unconditionally love him now, then you're not loving him. You're loving an imaginary future version of him. And like I was saying before, that self-abandonment of thinking that he's going to change, he's going to be fixed, blah, blah, blah. Now, like, of course, I am even more attracted to my fiance now after, you know, the stuff that he has done, the way that he has changed his life, but I still loved him even when he didn't, right? And I wasn't hanging on to, I'm only going to love him when X, Y, and Z has changed. And I was really frank. I asked myself that. I was like, if this stayed the same forever, would I resent myself? Could I still be happy? And I was like, yes. I also knew it just couldn't stay the same. Like it just wasn't going to happen. I just knew it. And I was seeing changes so quickly anyway, like even though they were small. But I'll be honest, like a year in, I remember thinking to myself, like, okay, he's made progress in his health and I want more. And I paused and I was like, but if this was it, could I be okay with it? And I was like, yeah, I actually could be. I intuitively was like, I feel like there is more, but I am okay with this. And just taking that pressure off, I feel like also just rapidly increased his health improvement. So, you know, he's shared this at my events, and we need to have him on the podcast actually soon. Maybe I'll ask him that today. We'll see when that happens. But you know, when he first met me, he had chronic like gut issues. You know, he'd been to the doctor, he'd had fucking like surgery, like really mini surgery, but still. And they were like, nothing you can do. You're just going to be on these pills for the rest of your life. Well, he's off all of them. And all it was food. But he just hadn't grown up where he knew how to eat really healthy, how to read ingredients. Like, it's hard in America. There is so much shit in the food here. It is so fucking hard. And the marketing, of course, if you're not educated about this, you just don't, you don't know. You think you're doing well. Like, he actually genuinely thought that he was being healthy. He was taking supplements and like blah, blah, blah. And he wouldn't go and eat a pile of McDonald's, but he didn't realize that, like, you know, even though you order a stir fry, there is shitty meat in there and there's bad oils and they've put a pile of like fucking agave syrup in there, which is 100% fructose and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, and I knew that I needed to be with someone that valued health. And it was just clear from the beginning, it wasn't that he didn't value it. He just didn't know like how to be actually healthy. So I helped him. I was the guide. I led by example. I did it for him, right? This was one of my points that I wrote down is if you're wanting him to be healthy and to eat the good food for the healthy babies that we all love and to not use the toxic detergent, here are a few things. One, make it a non-negotiable, right? He's either on board with you or he's off. Because if you're one foot in, one foot out about it, you're then confusing him. For me, from the get-go, it was like, I have to be with somebody healthy. I have to be with someone that values health. I have to be with someone that is okay with me chucking out all of this fucking disgusting detergent and all of these toxic products. And I still clean the house. There's still going to be cleaning products, but it ain't going to be this shit. And it took him a little bit to warm up to, of course. But the way that we got here was I did not sway in my boundaries. So guys, I'm going to be honest with you. When we moved into this house, he was away for a few weekends and I would go on a fucking rampage and I would go get all, he actually still doesn't even know, or maybe he's figured it out. Maybe I told him, is I went through his bathroom one day and there was just so much unused product and it was all toxic shit. So I just grabbed all of it and I chucked it out. He's never even asked me about it. Or if he has, I completely forgot about it. He's never even asked me about it, but I went through the laundry and I grabbed all of the toxic shit. I was like, this shit is not being in the house. And I just kept throwing it out. And if he bought it, I'd throw it out. And, you know, of course there'd be moments where it would kind of lead to a little bit of a fight, but it was a non-negotiable for me. And I wasn't doing it from this mothering place. I was doing it from this grounded queen energy place. And okay, it's taken a little bit of time, but we're there. Right. So when he was like, oh, this laundry detergent doesn't have any fragrance, so my clothes don't smell nice. I'm like, all right, bought a bunch of essential oils. I'm used to that. I'm like, it doesn't need a fragrance. But to him, he's used to a fragrance. So I then created alternatives, right? I got creative with how I could still get those needs met. So if he has the need of, I want the bed sheets to smell nice, I'm like, okay, but I have a need of non-toxic. So how are we going to blend the two? Or if he has a need of, I don't know, what would it be? Of like a certain deodorant that he really likes and like it does smell really fucking good. Okay, how can we meet in the middle? How can we get rid of some of the other products that he doesn't need to be putting in his body and he's not like, I have to have this product, I love it to bits. Can we swap it for something else? You know, can he sometimes be wearing a different deodorant so he's not always wearing that deodorant? And when he is wearing that deodorant, it's when he's sweating a lot and blah, blah, blah. But when he's, you know, just chilling out at home or whatever it is, he could wear the non-toxic deodorant, those kind of things. And it's not been that I need him to go to an extreme by any means. It's really actually being grateful for the amount that he has changed because he's changed like 90% of his like health stuff. And that last 10%, I'm like, he's human, right? He's human. And maybe one day he'll come around, but I don't need him to because I love him as he is with what he's done. And I'm so grateful for the amount that he has changed and how he has respected me for that. But also more importantly, I'm so glad for myself that I continue to respect the need that I had. And I wasn't going to abandon my need for the sake of people pleasing him, right? I wasn't going to be like, okay, fine, I won't keep throwing out your Tide detergent because I was afraid of the confrontation. It was like, no, we can keep having this fucking argument, but I care about your health. And I'm doing this from a place of love. And that's actually a really important point. This wasn't from a place of judgment or shame or belittling or I'm right, you're wrong. It was, I love you so much. And I know all of this stuff that you don't know. And like, he knows all of this stuff that I don't know about different things. We have different interests, but you know, I know so much and the shit in this detergent, it's not happening. Like, we are not using it in this house. It is being thrown out. End of story. And if you can't be okay with that, that's okay. But then we're not being in this relationship. And it sounds so harsh, but it's actually not. And you can get to this place, ladies and gentlemen, you can get to this place when you have a deep sense of self-security. My nervous system can stay so grounded in those confrontational situations that I don't abandon myself. I don't sway from my needs, right? It's like, no. I can think about this from a logistical perspective, and I'm not asking for too much. I am not being demanding. I'm not having ridiculous expectations. And also, let's circle back to, these were things that I made really clear that I needed at the beginning of the relationship. I know for those of you that have been in a relationship for a long time and now you're changing things, that can be quite hard. I'm not going to lie. That can be really hard because it's like, wait, I married this one person and now you're a different person. And that is why so many of us want to make sure that we are, especially listening to my podcast, you especially, you want to make sure that you're marrying somebody or in a relationship with somebody that values change and, like, in a good way, and evolving and growth. Because then you know, like, if you change in 20 years' time, I'm still going to be loved and I'm going to love you because at the core of you, I adore you. I'm not just marrying this version of you. I'm marrying every version of you. And that's why there needs to be those main things that are aligned on. But you guys can be really different people. Me and my fiance are very different people, but the things that are important we're really, really aligned on and the exact same in. So other things I'll quickly say, but to wrap up, this has been a long episode. Other things I'll quickly say is making sure that you give him healthy alternatives, shop around for healthy alternatives, do the research. Don't make him do the research. If you want the change, you do the research. Baking healthy snacks for him to munch on instead of munching on shit, putting that effort in. And also it just allows you to feel like you're nurturing him. It's fucking great. I love baking muffins for him. I literally will double a batch and they're all gone by the next day. Or like I'll make a loaf of my banana bread and I wake up the next morning and it's half gone. And it makes me so happy. Like I swear to God that like one of my love languages is people eating my food and him loving my food. Like when he compliments a dinner, she's happy. And then, you know, the last thing I will say is to be the example. So be the example of no gut issues, of full energy, like show him that being healthy equals feeling good and looking good, right? But feeling good so that he can actually know for himself, like that's what I get to look forward to, rather than him changing his whole life and being like, I don't feel a difference. It's also, you know, when you're jumping out of bed at 7 a.m. and he's still tired, he's like, oh, I want to experience that. And so he then also feels motivated to do what you're doing that helps you to feel that way. Okay. Wow. This was a great episode. I feel like I hope this was so, so helpful for you all in terms of just, you know, helping him to get into the work, helping him to be healthy. I feel like there's so many more things I could talk about on this topic, but I guess the last thing that I actually will say, because I haven't mentioned this and I wanted to mention it, is I said at the beginning there was many different ways to do the work. And, you know, he doesn't need to go sit in a therapist's office in order to classify as doing the work. He doesn't need, you know, because for one person, you know, they classify doing the work as reading a book. And I'm like, that's not doing the work, right? Doing the work is about actually making physical changes in your life. So he might make those changes without even reading a book. He might go on a 3-hour long hike and come home with this whole new perspective on things and a changed fucking man. If that is him doing the work and you're seeing growth and improvement, and more importantly, he is feeling and seeing growth and improvement for himself, then let him do it in a way that works for him, right? Let him do it in a way that works for him. Your way of doing the work doesn't need to be his way of doing the work. But your way of doing the work is going to allow him to see the example that, like the example of what it, like what you get from doing this work. And more importantly, as you rise, he's going to then be like, oh, damn, I got to keep up. And so he's also then going to rise as well because he wants to be able to keep up with you as you're growing too. Okay. So I'm going to love you and leave you all. I hope that you really enjoyed this episode. Please, please, please share the episode on your Instagram story. Tag me, Monica Yates Health. And you can also tag the podcast as well, Feminine as Fuck. Just take out the you, and then you'll see it come up. And Please, if you haven't left a written review, it takes you 2 seconds. You can do it whilst you're on the toilet taking a shit. It's so easy. It's so quick. It takes literally less than a minute to leave a few kind words, and it helps boost the podcast so that other people also find these episodes to be able to change their life. And if you're a new listener, please make sure that you hit subscribe. And also, there is a podcast directory that my team and I have made, which means that you can go to this podcast directory on my website and you'll be able to see the different topics that I speak about on the podcast and then the specific episodes. I know that it's like Spotify and iTunes. I'm like, I wish that you could arrange podcasts in a different way sometimes because I just don't feel like it's helpful. Like, wouldn't it be great if there was like tags and you could like click a tag and then it would like filter the episodes? So anyway, we basically had that on the website for you so that you can then filter the episodes based on the topics that you need so that you can go through and binge those episodes to get the value that you need to be getting. All right, I will see you guys in the next episode. Do not forget to get your immersion tickets. I'm here for any questions, and I will see you guys next week.